May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was having this conversation with the Lord. It wasn't meant to be humorous. It became humorous as I was riding along. And I was just saying, you know, Lord, when I was single, life was like really simple. And God's longed to get married, and I understand the reasons, but still, then I got married, and exponentially things got a little more complicated, well, a lot more complicated. And then I had children. I realized I was actually demon-possessed and didn't know it. Then I became a pastor, and then the church became a cathedral, and then I became a bishop, then I became an archbishop. And at every place where there were like these new things that God did, it became very more and more difficult. Like when I was single, it seemed like to be there were times in my life when I could say, everything around me is like at peace. That was really nice. And as I've gotten older, I was just saying, Lord, is there ever going to come a point when I can go, all the moving parts are going to be moving in the right direction? He said, yes, when you come home. And he didn't mean a landline road. And so I said, so it's never, ever going to be okay, I thought, so I'm the one who has to adjust. And he said, yes, absolutely. So I asked, the Lord began to speak to me, and I shared some of this at the conference in Manchester, Georgia. And thanks for those of you who prayed. We saw a number of people get healed. But more importantly, we saw a lot of people get, filled. We saw a lot of people enter into rest, enter into walking in the Spirit. A lot of people have experienced a lot of inner healing. It was a really cool time. And I didn't talk like this the whole time I was there. It takes Selma, the anointed atmosphere of the Alabama River, to do this. So I was thinking about Jesus, the fact that even though Jesus was God, we know he was God. Scripture makes it very clear. History of the church has made it very, voiced it very clearly. Jesus laid down his right to live as God, though he always had that option. He was God, innately and inherently God. He was also the Son of Man. And he came as the second Adam, according to 1 Corinthians 15, to show us how the first Adam were supposed to live. Jesus was the author and the perfecter of faith. We're called to live by faith. We were created to live by faith. And Jesus came and showed us what Adam failed to do, to live by faith consistently. He was tempted in every way, like unto us. God can't be tempted. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. God can't learn obedience. We saw God. We saw Jesus. They touched Jesus. God can't be seen at any time. And God can't die, yet Jesus died. Jesus lived as the Son of Man. And so we read the scriptures, we see the things that Jesus did. It said about him in John 14:10, Jesus said, the Father did the works through me. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says, God performed signs and wonders through him. That's an encouragement to me, because I can go and study the life of this one, though I'll never walk it out as perfectly as he did, because he never blew it. I've only blown it a couple of times so far today, and which is an encouragement. That's an absolutely promotion in my life. And yet, he's my example of what it is to walk as a Spirit-filled man. It's really important that we understand that. And I thought, it says the weirdest thing about this man. When I think about the stressors in my life that seem to be so unmanageable, like when you get this one fixed, because if you're not careful, you're running around trying to fix everything and everybody. That's extraordinarily exhausting. Now, I don't know if I may be the only one who's ever done that, but it's just ridiculous. And the more things you're given responsibility over to steward, the more it's easy to get your fingers in there and try to make everything okay. Well, it will be one day. If the answer, I think it was a universal answer when he said, when you get home, it'll all be really okay. And you don't have to think about that anymore. But Jesus said this, as the Son of Man, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I don't know if there's anybody who's ever qualified for that. But if you're at that place, you don't have to go to school. You don't have to go to any supernatural school of ministry. You're just like there, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the word rest there is the word, you'll come to a stopping place. Now, you see, if I'm walking along and I see somebody digging a ditch and they're 8 feet in the hole, and I go, hey, brother, you look really weary and heavy laden. I'd like to give you some rest. I don't mean hand me a shovel so I can get down there and help you dig. That'll just make you 50% better. What I'm saying is I want you out of the hole so I can do the digging. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That second word, rest, is a different word. It means to picnic, to recreate. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to have recreation in your heart, a nice picnic in your heart, even though everything around you is at least semi-chaotic in some direction? Because here's the good news. Put it on your refrigerator. Thou shalt always have chaos in your life that you can't fix. In this world, present tense, continual action, you will have tribulation. That's a refrigerator verse, right? We should put that out on our church signs, right? In this world, you will have tribulation. Come hear about it. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find recreation in your souls. Now, this is what he says. Now, I don't know about what, I don't know what the worst stressor day is you ever had, but I would imagine you never had one stressor day that compared to every stressor day that Jesus had as the Son of Man. He didn't face those days as God. He faced those days as the Son of Man, filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What? Okay, I'm ready to learn from you. He just said, learn from me. Okay, I'm ready to learn now. As the Son of Man, as a man, when I look at the yoke you carried and the burden you carried, and yours is easy and yours is light, I want to hear. You got all ears. In light of what the Father just told me, when you go home, it'll finally be okay. Okay, it's never going to get okay because I fix everything. It's only going to get okay because I'm going to learn something from you. Now, we'll talk about this over the next few days, so don't despair. We're not going to be here an hour and a half, but let me just share this with you. This is what Jesus said about himself. All of us know that we're in Christ, right? All of us know that Christ is in us, right? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, if Christ isn't in you, you're not even a Christian. That's the acid test. 27 times in the book of Ephesians, Paul refers to us being in Christ. In Christ, Christ in us. In Christ, Christ in us. It's this crazy dynamic union relationship. Jesus said this, verse 11 of John 15. It's my crayon page. That's because I'm very simple-minded, so I have to use crayons. Believe me, I actually did use a red crayon to circle this. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Same thing he said. If I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. He said, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. He says again in verse 20, in that day you will know that I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. I think it's in John chapter 10. He says in verse 38, the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. So I'll just start with this, and we'll pick it up again tomorrow and the next day. Jesus was in the Father. And so he no longer had a story. It was the Father's story. He was in the Father. I mean, if you just plunged yourself inside of me, guess what? You're in for a ride because you're in me. And now I'm the one calling the shots. I'm doing the deal. You're in me. And now you're going to be a part of the life I live. But I'm also in you so that wherever I'm taking you, I prepared you to face it because I'm in you. You see, Jesus was in the Father. Jesus totally, he said, learn from me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. What does that mean? I was absolutely, totally, completely, radically surrendered to my Father's will, to whatever it might be. If you read the One Thing Devotional, the example God kind of gave me is like if you're walking around in another century weary and you've been robbed and you're half naked and you're starving to death and you're walking around this dirty road and then this beautiful carriage comes along, sweeps you in the carriage, and the carriage is named Christ. And the driver of the carriage is named Christ. And you're now in Christ. And that thing starts to take off. And then it begins to fly like you're in a Star Wars movie. And you're like flying in the heavenlies. Well, you're almost like in for the ride. And so you've surrendered to wherever that carriage is going to take you. It's now in control. It may be using the stage of your humanity to carry this all out. But you're in, Jesus is in the Father. You can't stick your head out the window every 5 minutes and go, stop, stop, where are we going? I don't like this. It's now his life. Jesus let the Father live his life through him because he was in the Father, and the Father was now calling the shots. And Jesus was meek and lowly of heart, let that happen. And he could say, therefore, my burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because I know that everywhere this carriage called the Father, the life of the Father, takes me, he's also in me. And I'm absolutely prepared by who he is in me to face wherever it is. He takes me because I'm in him. he would never carry me to a place in him that he's already prepared me for because he's in me. So my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Does that make a little sense? Christianity is an instead of life. Christ instead of you, but doing it through you. Just as Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him, you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you. You've been taken up. And he travels in the heavenlies. But he carries out in the heavenlies. Here's the paradox. It's in the heavenlies, but it all looks like the stage of your life. But it's actually him living his life on the stage called your life. Because you're in him. But because you're in him, he's in you, and everything he takes you to, he's already prepared you for. See, he's the lead actor. He just happens to use your humanity to play out the play. So it's not really his burden. Not really my burden. It's his burden. It was his idea. Right? He's the one who's got to prove himself big enough. It's not my yoke. It's his. That's how you get rest in the yoke. I've heard this preaching all these years, like, here's the deal. It's like an oxen. You're carrying this yoke, and it's so hard, and Jesus comes along, and he takes the yoke, so you're carrying it together. That's not much help. You might have one of these placards, and I hate that you may have to throw them away, but God doesn't want you as his co-pilot. He doesn't trust you behind the wheel for 15 seconds. You with me? He saw what it was like when you were behind the wheel. That's before you got saved. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.